But of course, all of the hopes, when you put them all together, if you ask me, the greatest hope is the one that exceeds all of those hopes, and that's the hope that's found in the Christmas story, a story which we've all heard even today. We heard parts of the Christmas story, but we want you to hear the Christmas story this morning from the perspective of some children. Watch this.
An angel came to see Mary. She was doing laundry, and then the angel just appeared and she was really scared. So Gabriel was like, Mary, you're gonna have, what? I can't say it good. Mary, you're gonna have a baby. You're gonna have a baby and you will call him Jesus. And then Mary was like, I'm not gonna have a baby yet. I'm only a teenager, I'm not married. Then the angel Gabriel told Joseph that Mary is not lying. You are having a new baby. And so they met up. They went to Bethlehem, which was Joseph's old town.
They ride a donkey.
A camel.
Oh yeah, a camel. She said, this donkey's fast. They tried to go to a hotel and
they asked the keeper for a place to stay. The keeper said,
we have no rooms. Literally, no rooms.
So Mary and Joseph walked away sadly, but then he said,
the only place in here in Bethlehem that you can stay is a stable. And then he just pointed the way and they followed. When the shepherds were taking care of the sheep,
then they saw angels.
The angels said, a new baby is getting born, who is king of the Jews.
The angel were singing,
glorious. And then the shepherd said, I think we should go there and meet him. The second, I think, said, yeah, I agree with you. And the other said, yeah, me too. They had to walk through a bunch of grass and bushes, maybe have to camp out a night. And then the wise men heard about it.
And then a star appeared.
We should probably follow that star. It's pointing down to the barn.
So maybe we should follow it. Maybe. So the wise men went to Jesus.
They gave them gifts.
A stuffed animal, like a hippo one, they have at home.
Some diapers, and some wipes, and some milk, some shoes, some Jordans.
Gold ring and Latimer.
And I don't know how I would survive in that barn. Too stinky, too crowded, and ugh.
I think he probably pooped because the room was very smelly. Thank you for coming.
He's adorable.
He's gonna be our best friend.
I love you, and you're the best baby I ever seen. There, I said it.
The new baby is gonna change the world.
Oh man, I saw that video first time this week. I said, we gotta show you this video this morning. Just absolutely love it. They ace telling the story, you know, what happened. But you know what happens oftentimes when you hear a story, the Christmas story especially, sometimes people really don't get the hope of the story. They hear the story, but they miss the hope that's found in the story. And the hope that's found in the story is actually found in the announcement that the angels made to the shepherds found in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Where it just simply says this, the angel said to them, do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Now, how many of us this morning have some room in our lives for a little bit more hope? Anybody? Okay, is this just me? All right, I think probably most of us would get our hands up on this. But you know, when you look at the story, you take a careful look at the story, there's hope found here for all of us. In areas where we absolutely need hope. So I want to just give you just a quick look at this story. Three factors to consider. as you look at the story. First of all, consider how the shepherds heard about the birth of the baby Jesus. How did they hear about the birth of the baby? Can you tell me? Who told them? It was the angels. Yeah, do you believe in angels? Do you believe in, you know, divine messengers? Put yourselves just for a minute in the place of the shepherds. They're out in the field minding their own business when out of nowhere an angel shows up with a message from God. Now, would that get your attention? Would you all of a sudden stop and pay attention? I know, I hope I would. I think I would. I should. Well, the shepherds did. Why did God even, you ever ask yourself this question? Why did God even send angels? You know, maybe for reasons similar to why kings and important dignitaries often have a procession going before them to announce their arrival. In fact, the more impressive the person you can find to announce your arrival, the more impressive you must be. Now, here's what I know. I know some of us might think of ourselves as pretty impressive. At least, you know, that's what our mothers have told us, and our mothers tell other people, my son is amazing, my daughter is incredible. Do you know what she's done? Do you know what my son has accomplished? Well, of all of the things that your mom might be able to praise you for, the one thing she probably won't be able to say about you is that your birth was announced by an angel. Jesus' birth was announced by an angel. In fact, not only was the birth announced by an angel, but God kind of sealed the deal when, after this angel made that announcement, then he arranged for this. It's found in verses 13 and 14 of Luke 2. At once the angel was joined by a huge angelic choir singing God's praises, glory to God in the highest heights, peace to all men and women on earth who please him. So after the angel makes this announcement to the shepherds hear that. It's like God puts a crescendo on the whole story, on the whole thing that's happening there. And you have all of these angels now appearing in the sky to announce the birth of Jesus. Now think about that for just a minute. If you were out in the field with your buddies, you know, you're in the middle of the field, it's night, and a bunch of angels appear to you, and they start talking to you, and they start telling you certain things, you're going to be glad that you're probably out in that field with your buddies, right? So that you can all of a sudden ask them a few questions. Otherwise, they might think you're crazy. Did you see what just happened up there? Did you see it? Really? Did you see it? Good. I'm glad you saw it. Otherwise, I thought it might be hallucinating or something, you know? Or maybe it was some bad grass that our sheep got and I got along with them. I have no idea. But what happened was this multitude of angels actually appeared and proclaimed the arrival of Jesus. Now, that should give a person hope. That was how the shepherds heard. And if you just consider that, there's a little bit of hope there, wouldn't you say? But you can also consider who the baby is. Who is this baby, according to the account, according to the angels? The baby is Christ the Lord, verse 11. That's to say, Christ Jesus is the Messiah. He's the anointed one. He was sent by God. In fact, he is God. He came to the earth on a very special mission. Now, should that get our attention? Would that get our attention? Have you ever received a special invitation to celebrate a special occasion for someone? Certainly, the birth of a baby would qualify, wouldn't you say? Whether that baby be born to you or to your daughter or to your daughter-in-law or to a relative or to a friend or whoever. Well, this was the birth of a promised baby. This is the birth of a king, the birth of royalty, Emmanuel, we're told. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. Think of that. God came to be with us. And the shepherds were invited to come and meet with God, with the Messiah, the promised Messiah, the anointed one, God incarnate, God in a body. A Savior was born, verse 11. And the Savior was born to these shepherds, to you, to be with you. And as they would later come to find out, they would ultimately then be able to be with God because this Savior had come to be with mankind. And not just them, but us even to this day. You know, when you're hurting or when life is falling apart, think about this. Who do you want to be with? Who do you want to be with? Some of us this morning, we came in here and things haven't been going well. Who do you want to be with? Who do you really want on the other end of the phone that understands and cares about you? Pastor Dan told me about a time when he texted some friends and said, you know, I'm just so frustrated right now, I'm about to lose it. And one of his friends, within 5 seconds, texted back and he said, I'm with you, I'm with you. Call me when you can, but I'm here, I'm with you. Now that's something you want to hear, right? When you're in the middle of some trying situations. You want to have somebody who's with you that can give you some kind of hope and some comfort. Well, what this account is telling us, if you really stop and consider the account, is that God has come to be with us. In fact, all through the scriptures, it talks about how God wants to be with us. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God's speaking to his people. And God's continuing to speak to his people even today through the birth of Jesus, who comes to be with us. So you can consider as you look at the account, as you're thinking about the need for hope and the room in your life for hope, how the shepherds heard, you can consider who the baby is. But then don't fail to consider why the baby came. Why did Jesus come? Well, you see the reason right there in the passage, don't you? He came to save us. He's the, verse 11, he's the promised Savior. He came to save us. God came to save us. He didn't come, notice this, he didn't come in anger. He didn't come in wrath. He didn't come in condemnation. But he came to save us. To save us. Verse 10 says, to bring good news of great joy for all of the people. That includes us. Good news of great joy for all of the people. He came like a lifeguard comes to someone's rescue. I work out at the Mountain View YMCA where they have a swimming pool, and it has several lanes where people do lap swimming. I say, people do lap swimming. You know what I mean by that, don't you? Yeah, that's right. I'm not doing lap swimming. But anyway, so people are doing all this these laps out there. And several years ago at this Y, one of our pastors was swimming and he had a heart attack in this pool. Fortunately, there was a lifeguard on duty. Mel would have died or drowned. He would have died or drowned. I'm not sure what could have happened. Obviously, the worst, probably. But a lifeguard came to his aid. Do you think Mel was happy? Do you think his wife was happy? Do you think his friends were happy? Yes. Do you think we as a church were happy? Yes. Well, Jesus is the ultimate life saver. He came to save us from drowning in our sin, from drowning in the consequences of sin. He came to save us from separation from God and from ultimate death. He came to give us a relationship with God now and forever. I was recently asked by a spiritual seeker why she needed, she said, why do I need somebody to save me? It's a great question. Why do I need somebody to save me? She said, why can't I just go to heaven without somebody saving me? You know what the answer to that is? The answer is that we're separated from God. Our sins have separated us from God, the Bible tells us. And the wages of sin is death. But here's the good news. The free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ came as the Savior to save us from our sins, that we might in him be forgiven. We don't deserve to be forgiven, but he wants to give us forgiveness. He wants to write on our debt of count of sin. He wants to write on the debt account of sin righteousness. He wants to write forgiveness on our account. And that is made possible through Jesus' life and death for people like us. Have you ever had somebody send you on a mission? You know, even something as simple as, would you please go to the store and buy some eggnog? That kind of mission, as important as that mission might be to somebody who really is craving eggnog, I will never send you on that mission, by the way. But if that's, you know, something that you're craving and you send somebody on that mission, it's really important to you that they accomplish the mission. Well, that mission doesn't even come close to the mission that Jesus was on. You see, Jesus came on a mission to save us. It's a life-saving, it was a life-saving mission. He came to save you, he came to save me, he came to save all people who see themselves as needing to be saved. And when we place our faith in Jesus, we, at that moment in time, receive the gift of life. You know what the gift of life is called in the scriptures? It's called the hope of salvation. The hope of salvation. A little over a month after Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple, where a man named Simeon was there. Simeon was an individual who loved God, and he was praying and hoping for the day that he might see the Messiah. That he might see the Messiah before he died, before Simeon died. Well, he had the thrill of seeing the Messiah and holding the Messiah, Jesus, baby Jesus. And while doing so, Simeon said this in Luke chapter 2, verses 29 and 30. He said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation." My eyes have seen and held your salvation. The gift of salvation that was given in a baby, and this baby is Jesus Christ. And in seeing that, Simeon came to believe that. You know, in our world that desperately needs large infusions of hope, Jesus is the hope that we most need. More than anything else that we might hope for, Jesus is the hope that we most need. And that gift of hope that's been given has your name on it. It's there for the taking, and it's there for you to continue to benefit by, both now and for all eternity. Let's thank God together. Lord, thank you for this amazing story that isn't something that's for somebody else, but it's for us. And we thank you, Lord, that in this story there is hope in great proportions to change our lives, to change how we view our lives, to change why we live. And in a world where people are bravely holding on to the present and terrified about the future, Lord, may we all find hope in you in great measure, in the greatest hope giver of all. And I pray that if there is anybody here that has not yet received that gift of hope, that's found in Jesus, that today would be that day for them. It would be the day where they reach out by faith and ask you, God, to save them and to adopt them into your family through your Son, Jesus Christ. In fact, if you've never done that and you know this morning that you want a relationship with God now and forever and you want to receive the gift of life that's found in Christ, tell God that. Just in the quietness of your heart, tell him. Lord, I don't want to just see Jesus as a baby. Tell him, I want to see Jesus as a Savior, as my Savior. And so, Lord, I believe, and I want to receive the gift of life that's found in him. And God, as we have this hope then living in us through Christ, may our perspective be changed, may our mission in life be changed, and may this time of year be filled with the greatest celebration of all, celebrating the life that we found in Jesus. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.